With the Florida Folk Life program, and we're happy to have you here at the Folk Festival with the emphasis this year being the Florida ranching traditions. And there are many surprises, I think, to the general public when we talk about ranching and cowboys and cowgirls and the whole concept of what a ranch is, because we think of it as only being in the West. However, most or many of the traditional cowboys and cowgirls and ranching traditions in general are still alive and well here in Florida, and people just don't think of that. So we have with us a group of our ranching people from Florida who have a very, very wide variety of knowledge on the history of ranching in Florida. And so for the next 20 minutes, they're going to fill you in on that history. And so right now I'm going to turn the microphone over to Mr. Joe Ackerman, who has done a great deal of research on ranching in Florida, has written a book on the history of Florida ranching. So take it away.
Okay. Thank you, Nancy. We met yesterday along these, had the same general topic that we are talking about today. And one of the things that I mentioned was that ranching, cattle ranching started here in Florida as far as the United States goes, and the first cattle were brought here by Ponce de Leon in 1521, and by 1640 there were Spanish ranches, and in this place where we're sitting here today there was a Spanish ranch. In fact, all this land was sort of designated, it was broken up into what they call hectares, and it was designated as ranch land. It was, of course, all open, and along with this, you also had your missions, the Franciscan missions, and there were some 30 or 40 through here. There were four or five along this river, along the Suwannee River. They went as far west as the Apalachicola River, and they started back over at St. Augustine. And most all those missions, they called them doctrinas, they also raised cattle. They had some pretty large cattle herds. And the people that worked those cattle, of course, were the Indians around there, around the doctrinas, around the missions, and they were vaqueros. That's a Spanish word for cowboy. So the first, not only the first cattle raising took place here in Florida, but the first cowboys that we know, the first people that we know as cowboys actually lived and worked here in Florida. So that's one of the first that Florida has. It's a story that's been pretty much left untold. Our Western counterparts, the Texas cowboy, the cowboy of the sage and the mesquite, his plaudits have been made and everything, and he's received his credit. But the Florida cowman has not received that kind of recognition, and maybe in the future he will. Someone needs to write a novel about a Florida cowboy. Just like the Virginian by Owen Wister was written about a cowboy who lived in Wyoming, and that made the helped to make the cowboys out west known to everyone. Someone here in Florida needs to write something about a Florida cowboy, and so I want to give that assignment to somebody out there. We talk very informally. We don't have much time here, and we just sort of move along, and we're trying to talk about the early history. And one of the things we did talk about yesterday was how cattle raising had changed so much. And one of the things we really didn't hit on too much was the different breeds of cattle. Originally, the first cattle that were brought over here were descended from Andalusian stock, Andalusia being a kingdom of Spain. Some of them were brought directly from Spain. Most of them came directly out of where the Dominican Republic or Santo Domingo is. Santo Domingo, it was called then. And they were brought into Florida. These are the same bloodlines that make up the Texas Longhorn that was so abundant at the end of the Civil War that just ran wild. And these cattle ran wild here in Florida. And even when they were being worked bought and sold, they were still plenty wild. And there's still a few of these woods cattle around. There's a book out called The Creole of Cattle. And in this book, this man documents the disappearance of these Criolla cattle, these early cattle, like the Longhorn. and like the Florida scrub cattle. And but there have been a lot of new breeds that have taken place. The Brahman breed was introduced to Florida. It really didn't become important in Florida till around 1930 or so. But the first one was brought into Florida in 1854. But there's some other new breeds, and I would just like to sort of turn this over to these people that really know cattle and ask them if any of them would like to comment on some of the new breeds, such as the Brangus and the Simbra and any of these, the Brayford, any of the breeds like this that they'd like to comment on. Anybody? How about you, Vic? Would you?
No, let some of these other fellas comment on them breeds. I got something else I want to comment on in a minute.
Okay. How about it, Jenny?
Well, I'm not a big cow breeder. I have a pretty good, a fair little handful of cattle down in Okeechobee County. But my experience with raising feedlot type of cattle down in our country, the buyers from out in the western states come into our country looking for beef feedlot type cattle are looking for that more or less an English type cow, and a lot of our ranchers in our country have gone to using Brangus bulls on Hereford cows, and believe it or not, you wind up with a black white face animal, more or less the biggest portion of them, and these buyers will give some little bit more percent per pound for this type of an animal because he's quieter natured, and he'll go in the feedlot and start feeding out faster and on a quieter basis and gain faster than a Brammery type animal will. However, in our part of the country, it being low and flat, a big percent of the ranchers always hold to a portion of their herd of cattle with some Brammer breeding in them because he is more or less an all-around durable animal for all weather conditions. But yet he's a good animal to raise your offspring from. So in our part of the country, we cross a lot with Brangus and Brayford to Hereford and Angus.
Okay, thank you, Junior. Mr. Ryle?
Over in my section, we find it at Santa Gertrudis and the Angus Cross is a mighty good beef cow, and it takes the range mighty good. Now, of course, the white face, I like the white face, but the trouble with the white face is that your calves have got such a large head till you lose a lot of them in birth. At Santa Gertrudis, when you that calf comes, he looks like he's starved to death. He's poor and long. And but when he hits the ground moving, growing. So we're getting mighty good results out of that. Now, most anything in a good cross it certainly improves the cattle situation of what it was in the past. But I kind of started off on my ranch at the and using a Santa Gertrudis bull and a Black Angus, didn't start it off, but I went to that. And then I saved heifers from that cross, and they gave me a large cow. And then I turned back, and I've come back to the Angus bull now. And I feel like I'm got as pretty a bunch of calves this time that I've had in quite a long time. So I just kind of lean to that cross a little bit.
Okay, thank you. Jim Bob, do you have any? I know you got a lot of cattle around Marion County there, a lot of Brahman, for instance. I just wondered if you wanted to say anything about that.
Well, you were talking about the Brahma cows brought into Florida. There was a fella, the first man to bring them in that I found was in the 1850s, like you said, that shipped them down from Charleston, South Carolina, down to Jacksonville, Florida, by boat. And he was a fellow named Adam Summer, down in Marion County in the little village of Summerfield right below Bellevue is named for him. What happened, he lived up in South Carolina, and across the river from him was a man who was ambassador to Turkey back then, and I don't remember who was president, but anyway, he came back and had some Brahma cows with him, and he traded them to this guy that lived across the river named Summer, Adam Summers, and he brought them down to Marion County, had a little ranch down there, and this was in the 1850s, so... a lot of people tell you that the Brahma wasn't introduced in the 1880s or 1890s or something, but there are records of them being in Marion County in the 1850s. Joe?
Okay, thank you. Vic, you said you had something there you wanted to...
Well, I wanted to comment on kind of what brought all this change around. Back in the last of the 20s and the starting of the 30s is when they was eradicating the ticks here. Well, this was all open country. Nobody owned any land except the little homestead that they lived on, and it didn't cost them nothing for pasture rent, and they just turned all their cattle out. Well, you could buy this land for 50 cents an acre or 25 cents an acre, might near whatever you wanted to give for it because the state owned it, and they wasn't getting nothing for it. Nobody paid them any lease on it or nothing. So when the dipping started, then everybody started fencing up their cows. And when they started fencing up the land, then they had to buy it. So the ones that had enough money, bought enough of that land to do some good. Well, I come down here right at the close of the dipping when they was getting just eradicating the ticks. Well, I was riding with these cowboys, and we rode up on down here in Banatee in Sarasota County, what is now the Mica State Park. There's a big prairie there, about 2,000 acres, and we rode up on that and looked out across that opening. There wasn't a tree on it, but there was palmettos on it, about half up the side of a horse's back. And you know, a cowboy, all he'll walk is from the bed to the table and from the table to the horse lot where he can saddle his horse. And so anyhow, I asked these cowboys, I said, fellas, I said, look at that across there. I said, if you'd clean them palmettos out of there and plant some grass in there, you'd have enough grazing on that opening there to graze every head of cow in Florida. And they made fun of me. So I didn't say no more about digging up the palmettos. Of course, the only way they knew how to dig palmettos up with a grubbing hoe, and that's what I was getting around saying, they wasn't going to do that. But... Anyhow, the big men that had money bought up this land, so they owned it, and they started improving it. And then when they started improving it, they had to have better cattle because it cost them to clear this land up. They had to put lime on it and whatnot and fertilize it every now and then. They had to grow bigger cattle than what they were raising, and that's what brought about a lot of this change in the breeding of the cattle.
Okay, thank you, Vic. Excuse me. Earlier we were talking about how the early cattlemen and even today were conservationists at heart. And one of the practices that a lot of farmers used, a lot of people that worked cattle and used cattle, was pinning their cattle. And then they would take the, after where the cattle had been pinned, they would plant crops in there. And use the fertilizer. I just wonder if any of y'all have had any experience with that, doing that type of thing.
Well, I think that all started up here in kind of in North Florida, because everybody farmed a little bit up here, and they would what they'd call cow pen their cows, and it also drifted on off down in South Florida too. But that's the way some of them groves down there in South Florida is the only fertilizer they got is from putting them cattle in there at night and leaving them, and turning them out in the daytime.
I was a boy that's the only way that back on the farm that anybody had any cattle that growed sweet potatoes and sugar cane. That they'd build them a rail fence around a piece of new ground, and then they'd haul in some wood and build fires in this pen and brush to make it smoke. And the cows would come, these cows on the range would come to that and sleep at night. So, of course, some of them would milk these teacup cows that they would milk one before they turn them out, but they didn't get hardly a teacup of milk. But that give them a good fertilization, and they'd hold them on this section coming from the open range and coming in for maybe a month, and then they'd change that cow pen and they'd break that land and they'd plant sweet potatoes or plant cane, and it was give us mighty good fertilization. And that was a practice that had been carried on back when I was a boy, back in 50 years ago. And there's a few this day and time, it's where they got cattle on a permanent pasture, they do fix them a little pen that they can call and come in there. If they, now they feed them some, and they're just hay or something to get them come in for the night and shut them up. And then that way they use that for the sweet potatoes, cane, and gardens. And it does make, on sweet potatoes, it makes a good smooth sweet potato and without any commercial fertilizer. And on cane, it gives you a good taste in your syrup. And so if we do more of it, we just got to where we got lazy and haven't not far in our practice like we should.
Thank you, PK. We're going to have to get off here in just a second. There's another group coming on. I just wonder if any of you, I see a lot of cowboys and cowgirls out there. I wonder if any of you have any questions or anything you'd like to add to this. We have tried to keep this informal, as you can probably tell. Anybody have a question? Anyone have a question or anything they'd like to say? Yes, sir.
Well, down in South Florida, most of the companies that's bought up big tracts of land is the fertilized companies, and they went out and tested it. And if it wasn't dolomite, if it dolomite wasn't under there, they wouldn't buy it. But that that had good dolomite under it, they've bought that all up, and that's about all. And I guess there's a few big companies that's bought land and put cattle on it, but most of the cattle ranchers are individuals.
There's some on the Florida East Coast that some of these corporations that are building housing developments and things like that are offering some of the smaller ranchers so much money for his property that he can't afford not to sell it, and if he doesn't and they build those houses right up next to him, his taxes goes up to where it's a pretty bad problem down in Southeast Florida and Central Florida too.
Thank you very much for coming.
I wanted to say one thing about what they were putting on their sweet potatoes. We always found that butter was the best thing at our house.
That's really good.